So their brilliant idea when there's a news report of a car crash is to put an advertisement for a new Nissan in front of that news. It's like someone could have died, someone's parent or brother or something. Let's see what happens.
You know what? You should have bought a Nissan.
You should have bought a Nissan. That clearly is what happened.
This is terrible, though. Four people killed right by my home.
Oh, my good God. Do you see that? Wow. Yeah, someone is not making it out of that one.
Four.
Jeez Louise. Well, that's depressing. Well, hello, you sweet and sexy listeners. You have joined us for a beautiful Valentine's Day special. Oh, man. Well, we hope you're enjoying your Valentine's Day with your significant others, or if you're having one of those, like, salty bitch, single awareness days, things, whatever the kids do nowadays.
They're doing feedings.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can go to the zoo and pay $25, and they'll name a rat after your ex, and then you get to watch a snake eat it.
Oh, wow, really? I did not know of this wonderful service.
Yes.
Gonna have to hit that up soon.
You can do $5 or something like that and get a cockroach, and they'll...
What?
They'll feed it to a meerkat.
What? That's amazing. That's actually amazing. Well, we got a bunch of stuff on the show today. The big hot topic is going to be our favorite comic book romances, but we'll get to that much here in a couple seconds or so. So let's get that intro music going and get this show on the road. Welcome back to A Little Bit of Nerd, your recreation destination for all things nerdy. As usual, I'm your host, Jalen Holston, and with me today is a man that can only be described as someone who carries the grace of a falcon. Mr. Bilkey, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing so well. Dude, I did a bunch of hot yoga this morning.
Oh, yes. How'd that go?
Exquisite.
Wonderful.
I loved it. I really do now have the potential to wield the grace of a falcon.
Oh, wonderful. Well, on today's show, we've got some Deadpool news, we got a new Star Wars, the Clone Wars trailer, and then we've also got, my God, this broke literally 12 hours ago, but Robert Pattinson, we've seen it, we know what's going on, and then, of course, today's hot topic and almost editorial episode, if you will, is our favorite comic book romances of all time, because... It is Valentine's
Day. It is.
We wanted to give you all a little sweet sugar for your Valentine's. So let's get right on into it. We just watched the Star Wars Clone Wars trailer. Wonderful. Can't wait.
Super hyped. Yes. Holy shit. I'm already a semi.
Dave Filoni apparently has said Ahsoka Tano will have somewhat of a role in it as far as the animation of the show goes. Go over to our friends... at Galactic Dads, if you want to hear a big scoop about the comic that is accompanied to the show, trust me, you'll want to go ahead and give that a good look.
Thank us later.
Hit up our boys over there, doing great work. But yeah, so what are your expectations for this new Clone Wars series? Well, it's not new, but it's like the continuation of the Clone Wars.
I'm setting the bar super high.
Yeah.
Yeah, just off what I've seen. I mean, if you've seen the Clone Wars, you know how great of a show it is.
It's fantastic.
Production levels... through the roof. So I'm super excited for this new season to come out just because they've already set the bar so high before.
Yes.
I don't see them dropping below it.
I recall the original series when I watched it on the first time I binged it on Netflix, right? Because there's like the non-canonical order or something like that. Even way back to the animated days when it was just 2D. The way that they're able to just do all this storytelling in like a kid show.
It's wild.
Blows my mind. It's fantastic. And it really does add a lot of light if you binge watch the Clone Wars series and then you immediately jump to Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Fills in a lot of gaps. You understand a lot more about why Hayden Christensen acted the way he did in that movie. So on all those levels, I appreciate it. I cannot wait for Season 7. Good God.
Yep. I'm so geeked for this, dude. This is going to be amazing. I don't even know what to say, honestly.
It's going to be wonderful.
Cannot hard wait. See it on the trailer. Please. If you want to get excited.
Please. Google it. Look at the internet and say, can I watch it? It'll say yes. then just find it.
It's going to be beautiful. We get more Mace Windu.
We do get a little bit more Mace Windu, so obey one, you know what I'm saying?
Super hyped on it, yes, man. And it's still like a relatively good Anakin.
Yeah. He's just on the cusp in this season 7. He's not quite all the way there yet, but you start seeing those shades. Kind of like the later seasons of the original Clone Wars series that was on Netflix. So, yeah, give it a look, guys. It's good.
Hell yeah.
Wonderful. Moving right on down the list, Deadpool 3 is going to stay under the Fox banner. Bilky, we have talked ad nauseum about Deadpool and is going to happen with the Marvel and the Fox deals. So here is what happened with this report that came out of, I believe it was Variety first and then picked up later on by Collider. The Deadpool 3 writer noted that, absolutely, because I don't think it'll be under the Disney banner. Like, I don't think when you go into Deadpool 3, there's going to be a magic castle that appears. I think it's going to be under the Fox banner, so yes. And that was from Rhett Reese himself, the Deadpool 3 writer. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
We've talked about this so many times.
I read a couple articles recently just doing some research on the topic when, you know, I can't sleep at night because I'm worried it's going to be a PG-13 movie.
Yes, yes. Formulated massive amounts of anxiety over Deadpool 3.
Exactly. The producers are saying that they're going to give it a little time before it comes out. Like, they're not going to try and press the button on it too quickly. And I think they want to give Ryan a little bit of time to calm down. Because there's a lot of Deadpool for a while.
He's older now. Yeah. You got to remember, he's doing a lot of these actions. But he's like 40 plus, bro. He's like Hugh Jackman level right now.
He needs a little time. Which is totally okay with me, because if they do it correctly, they can take all the time they need.
How long did we wait for that first Deadpool? And my God.
Right? It was amazing. And so one of the producers was quoted by saying, it's going to be an R-rated film.
Yes, that was confirmed. And I thank God.
Yeah, it's still going to be under the Disney hat, I suppose. But, I mean, they're doing the R-rated. It's going down.
Yes.
And he said they're not going to make the film otherwise.
Yes, and I completely agree. I thought that was the move, and I knew there had to be a way to still make this happen. Like, we know Disney owns Fox, but it doesn't mean you have to put the castle in front of the movie, right? You can still just have the little Fox banner thrown up there. Just
absolutely.
You own it. Like, there's no reason you have to associate, like, all the Disney logos with Deadpool. He can still just be off doing his thing and still kind of technically belong in the MCU because he's under Disney. So, good
that's,
on you.
That's an interesting thing to talk about, actually. Will we ever see Deadpool cross over into the MCU?
I think eventually. It's bound to happen, because here's the thing. The Deadpool movies make money. That's a
yes.
fact. They make money. The last two, easily over a couple billion a piece, and it would behoove Disney not to take that property with properties that already make billions of dollars for them in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and not just cross them over. It would be a win for the fans. It'd be a win for Disney. So I think eventually, especially once they reestablish the X-Men, I think that's going to be the big, like, crux.
So do we see darker X-Men? Because the thing that pops into my head is, well, if it's always going to be rated R Deadpool movies, how are they going to switch that over and morph him into the MCU? Is it going to be a rated R X-Men Deadpool crossover? Or
I think it would probably have to be more of like the MCU characters come over to Deadpool versus him going into the MCU. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think
that.
That's probably more the route they would have to go with it. But I do think it's coming, because as soon as they reboot all the X-Men stuff, that's going to open the floodgates as far as like the crossovers we get. We could get like the Spider-Man Deadpool stuff where he pops in and does all the stuff. Imagine, if you will, if Ryan Reynolds is still playing this role, right? We get a Tom Holland Spider-Man Deadpool team-up movie.
Like, it'd be amazing.
That first of all, that comic book was fantastic, illustrated for a couple issues by none other than the god himself, Todd Knock. Wonderful.
We bow.
We bow in your greatness, Mr. Knock. But like, just imagine that on screen, though. How crazy that would be.
It would be amazing, because they have so much history as far as the books are concerned.
Yes, and the banter would just be absolutely
It'd be
delight.
Legendary.
It'd just
man.
Be a delight, wouldn't it?
Ryan Reynolds and Tom Holland probably wouldn't go off script for all
God.
Of it, too.
It'd be great. And he's so, like, Tom Holland's so good, man. He could hold his own with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Convinced. No, I have no qualms. Like, this Tom kid, guys, I'm telling you, he's going to be around for a while. Get used to it.
That's fine with me.
Yes.
I want to see Tom and Tobes on the same screen.
Tom and Tobes? There are rumors floating around, we're going a little off topic, that there is a Spider-Verse thing kind of formulating over at Sony.
That'd be so cool.
Which, my God, if they did it for realsies.
I just hear Spider-Man, and then I just... Oh, God. Like, all right, let's talk about Spider-Man. I know.
It's fine. Oh, man. We're going to move right on down the list. Joaquin Phoenix, we know him. He did things movies. He played a Joker character. He won the Academy Award for Best Actor. It's inevitable. We called it a while ago. We're just letting you know in case you somehow missed it. This is a big win for comic book movies, Bilkey.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, this really just... It adds just this another layer to this medium that we have now, right? Where, like, you can make a comic book, like, themed movie with a character that a lot of people know, but it doesn't have to be this MCU kind of style, right? It can be this, like, action, or not action, but, like, dramatic storytelling growth thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's creating more avenues for them to take as far as what kind of tone the movie's going to have.
Yeah.
And then there's something to back it up as well.
Yeah, and you're getting big name talent on these films, right? And you're not wasting them. Yeah, like
every time.
It's amazing.
Joaquin is opening a door for more serious actors to step into the superhero world.
Perhaps a Robert Pattinson Academy Award? We'll get to that later. It's coming. It's coming, everyone. It's coming. Goodness. Moving on down the list, this one's just for you, Mr. Bilkey, because your boy, Doctor Strange, has been in some hot water recently.
He has, dude.
He lost his director. The writer said there was no draft for the script, according to reports and things of that nature. But rejoice. There is some good news.
Rejoice.
They found a director, and it is going to be none other than Sam Raimi. Yes, you heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Raimi, the one that did Spider-Man 1 and 2. We don't talk about 3 for obvious reasons, but he did those other two films that were very good.
It's going to be awesome, dude. Yes. I mean, has he directed a superhero film since?
I don't think so. He went back to his horror genre, because before then... Sam Raimi was big into, like, horror films. That's how he got the job at Sony to do the first Spider-Man, and everyone was kind of like, oh, what? Huh?
And then he killed it.
And then he just smashed it out of the park, right? And we're referring to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man from 2001 and then 2004 and then 2006 or 7, I think. But, yeah, I as far as anyone to pick up a superhero franchise and kind of redeem himself, especially after Spider-Man 3, I am super excited that they got Sam Raimi, of all people.
Very on board for this.
Like, what?
It's going to be cool seeing him out of the game for so long and then stepping his foot back into the water.
That beast is going to get you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Milwaukee's Best Eyes, 32 ounces. Get yours.
Wonderfully done.
Yeah, I mean, he's been out for so long, and now he's going to jump back into the superhero world.
Marshawn Lynch style, come in hot.
He's been able to sit on the sidelines and spectate, like, how the whole medium, as you said earlier,
that he kicked
shaped.
Off,
yeah.
To be honest. Like, X-Men, and then, like, when Spider-Man hit is really when everyone was like, oh, superhero movies, we can do those.
Then enter Iron Man.
Yes. Boom.
Fucking detonation.
Yes, it was over. It was
so
GG's.
I'm so excited. What is he going to do? Is he going to... I don't even know.
I don't know.
Freak out. Doctor Strange.
Listen, the concept with the sequel of, like, the Multiverse of Madness or whatever it's going to be called, I just really hope they take advantage of what Doctor Strange is and what his, you know, his base power set of manipulating reality, right? So, like, if there's characters and stuff that they really want to do, like X-Men, Fantastic Four, like, I feel like this is their flashpoint, right? Like, this is the movie they got to kind of plug that stuff in if they're going to do it. Otherwise, it's just going to be really random to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's really my only guess and hope for this this upcoming
Doctor
Strange.
That's a good take. I like that.
You know what I mean?
He's a very important character as far as the universe itself is concerned.
Yes.
Super fucking vital for a lot of different reasons, so... Yeah, this is going to be a really important movie to see if they can blast off into the next phase.
Do they do Endgame without Doctor Strange? Let's be real honest about it, Bill.
No.
Probably not.
You can't.
Holds up that finger, and Tony knows this is go time.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. You have to do well with this Doctor Strange movie. He is so important. And the guy, I can't remember his name right now.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, he plays a fantastic Stephen Strange.
It was a perfect casting. I was really happy with Benedict Cumberbatch. My only grief, again, with the first one is, like, You get Rachel McAdams and Benedict Cumberbatch, bro. You gotta use the actors, bro. Like, she was in that movie for 2 seconds.
Yeah, it had
so beautiful.
It had an Iron Fist vibe to it.
It really did. It just was.
And we watched it over and over, just like, Iron Fist can be good.
It can be good.
But it just never came to fruition. So I hope they take a little different route. Now that we've seen him in his origin, I guess.
And his prime. We saw some cool stuff in Infinity War and Endgame. Like, that's the... Do that more. More of the things. That stuff. Yes.
Yeah. He's been laid out. Everyone knows what he's about. Now let's show them what he really can do. And then introduce some other avenues that you want to take in the future.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully they do well. I can't wait for it. All right. Moving on down the list. Stranger Things dropped a little snippet for us, didn't they, Bilky?
Yes, they did.
It was literally 20 seconds. and it... if you haven't seen this... air quote teaser for Stranger Things season 4. It might be a teaser trailer for a trailer. You know, they do that a lot these days. But basically, it's just we get confirmation Hopper is alive. What? Oh my God. Anyway, I wanted to pose the question because I think you and I had similar thoughts when season 3 ended, right? There's no point to me of doing a season 4. At this point.
Like, I think it could have ended. Yeah, we were in the same boat.
Like, where are they possibly going to go? You know?
Well, if our hot take is super hot, then they're going to do the season 4. They're going to do a solo movie, and then they're never going to touch it again and let it be good.
God, I hope so. Because, like, again, like, there's just... Eleven's... No, who moved? Will moved. No. Somebody moved. One of the kids moved.
Yeah, no, it was Will. Will and his brother.
Will and his brother moved, right? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So Will moved. Eleven's still with whatever she's doing. And
Eleven's with Will.
Is it?
Right?
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, they did go together, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's been so long. With, I'm sorry.
Winona Ryder.
That's right. Yeah, Eleven stayed with Winona Ryder. They leave. The rest of the kids are still back in Iowa, wherever the fuck.
Oh, fuck. What is it called? Hawkpoint?
Hawkins. Hawkins. Yes. Hawkins. We did. Sorry. It's been so long since we talked about Stranger Things.
Indiana.
Yeah. So they're all still in Hawkins, right? So it's just, it really felt like that was the nail, right? Because, just there was nowhere to go. Eleven did the thing. She closed the gate again, and that was it. Like, what are
they victoried.
Gonna do? I would have much rather them end on a cool season, because season 3 was still really good. It was great. It was a great trilogy. They wrapped it up. Stuff was good, but I for the life of me cannot figure out, are they gonna go like apocalypse level shit? Is like Eleven gonna be Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix kind of stuff? Like, is that what's happening now?
You know what I think? And I'm so upset that this came into my head. I think it's gonna go to the kids are saving the world type shit.
Oh, no.
And I think they're gonna fight the Russians.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is my hot take. Buckle up.
Is this really where we're going?
Yep. So,
oh, my God.
They're bullshitting. They're keeping in contact. For the short story's sake, let's say they pick up another Russian transmission or some piece of information.
Oh, God.
Hopper's their inside man when they're trying to figure out what to do. And I can't do it. They're going to take down these Russian bad guys who are trying to reopen the gate or clone the fucking dogs or whatever. Dude. It's going to be bad.
The show will literally lose me if we go into, like, kids saving the world type shit.
Yep.
That had a fad in an era in the early 2000s with Spy Kids and everything, and maybe, like... there was a Kristen Stewart movie that came out, too, that had that kind of vibe to it. I forget what it's called. But anyway, it's so unfathomable, right? Like, they are children. This is not going to work ever.
You have the Russian government.
They hacked our election. Do you think they're going to take any shit from 11-year-olds or whatever they are now, teenagers?
How old are
maybe.
They going to be now?
I guess season 3, they were getting into, like, 13, 14, right? So, logistically, the time jump, even so, teenagers saving the world is still not as, I don't know.
There's no way
they can't do it, man.
I mean, I guess Hopper did look a little rough, but I'm trying to think, because could they fast forward to them being seniors and then...
why not adults with student loans? Let's get into that Stranger Things.
It is a Stranger Thing for you, son.
What if Eleven has a pregnancy scare? Can we do that?
That wouldn't be crazy.
What
is the beautiful girl? What's her name?
The redhead one? I don't know.
No, the Will's brother's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Don't know. Can't remember.
Are they college students now? Like, what?
Right.
Do they have full-time jobs?
Right. Are they still working at the Ahoy, the ice cream?
Steve, Scoops Ahoy?
Steve, rip the dream.
Where does all this shit come in?
I don't know, man.
Nowhere, because it should have ended.
Exactly.
It's bullshit. Let fucking Hopper go out in a chariot of flames.
Fucking blaze of glory. Yes. Let him just go nuts. Go ham, you know?
This season might be a lot of build up at the beginning, too. Just trying to
reestablish all the characters.
Oh, you're killing me.
You know
me.
What? It also has the potential for a slow burn effect, right? It could have that Witcher thing.
It could. Know? Very well.
But anyway, moving right on down. My God. Bilky. Everyone, listen to me very carefully. We have talked ad nauseum about the roster that accompanies this film. We've talked ad nauseum about the director of this film. And we've talked a lot about the lead actor and his redemption from the Twilight films. He's like Academy Award caliber, and now he's playing Batman. It's wonderful. Anyways, Matt Reeves dropped the first look of the Batman literally 12 hours ago, and I lost my mind. Shout out to Nolan P.F. Chang. Just kidding. Nolan Chang out in Cali. Homeboy, I miss ya. I'll see you May 1st for Black Widow. Don't you worry. He sent me the link from Collider that showed this clip last night, and I immediately forwarded it to you.
Yes, you
because
did.
I lost my mind. Bilky, what did you think of our first look at Robert Pattinson in the Batsuit?
Okay, let me take myself back. I pull up the text.
Wonder.
Oh, what does Jalen want? Open it up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Click on the link. Okay. Get your shit together. Click on the link. First thing I get, immediate butterflies. Like, holy shit. Look at the suit.
Oh, my God.
Look at the suit. Why does the logo look like that? I don't like it. What's going on?
I don't know.
And then, wait, what if it's something cool? Insert Jalen. I think it's the gun from the gun that killed his parents. Okay, come back to me. Oh, my God.
Oh my fucking God.
I love it. Super excited, dude. He looks dark. Oh, he looks edgy. He looks like he's not going to be ripped-ass Bruce Wayne throwing chains around training.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Detective mode.
Yes. This, dude, when I saw this, immediately I'm like, the Arkham video games are coming to life. Or he's found a happy medium because, dude, Robert Pattinson looks fantastic in this suit. I had my qualms about it. I said he would be a brilliant Bruce Wayne, but I would have to see him in costume to make my judgment on Batman. Absolutely not. Jaw looks great. Cowl looks great. The logo looks great. My hot take about the logo that, you know, because it doesn't have the bat ears, right? But I think the hot take and the rumors swirling the interwebs and Reddit is it's the gun that Joe Chill used to kill his parents. Whoa.
Mic drop, end of podcast.
And that would actually be very cool and a cool little, like, Easter egg to throw in there because there is a significant comic run where he does take the gun and make a bat logo out of it.
Super cool. So excited.
But yeah, dude, do you feel like there is any possibility that, what direction do you think this movie's going to go? It's just what I should ask you. Do you think it's really going to be more Joker route where we're not going to get a whole lot of cinematic, like, action blockbuster? Or do you think it's going to go kind of in between Dark Knight and, like, Zack Snyder level action, where we're gonna see some awesome Batman stuff and, like, a little bit of, like, drama stuff as well?
If I had to weigh it on, like, a scale, I'd want more drama with a little pinch of some Zack Snyder action.
A little punch.
Yeah. Pow. Bam. Just punch. A little pow of some Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I want from it. I want it to be a little more dark, focus on maybe the mental health of Bruce Wayne, because it's never in a good spot.
Never.
And Robert can do that.
Yes.
He absolutely can. So
he's
take it
so
dark.
Good.
Yeah.
Listen,
take it fucking dark.
I was not a Robert Pattinson fan, okay? I don't remember which movie it was, but I got done watching it and I said, holy shit. This man got gypped by, like, you know, having to get the checks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He got locked into those 7 film deals. That's what he had to do, and he grinded it out. And then he took a little time off and came back. He's amazing.
Yo, I'm a real actor now.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Same thing with Kristen Stewart. I love Kristen Stewart now.
Big fan. Big fucking
super
fan.
Super hot, great actress, doing a thing. Wonderful.
Did you see
love
her
you.
In American Ultra?
I have not yet.
Really good.
Wonderful.
I think it's more of like an actual Kristen Stewart.
There is an adorable movie she made with Jesse Eisenberg called Adventureland. That is.
He's also in American Ultra.
Oh wow, that's their second movie together.
Yes,
that's wonderful.
They're like a love connection the whole
they
time.
They did that in Adventureland. It was awesome. Oh my god, now I have to watch it.
You're gonna
I have
love
to,
it.
I'm gonna love
You're
it.
You're gonna love it. It's fantastic. Unbelievable.
But anyways, but because like apparently this is gonna deal with some things in Arkham. We've talked about the Penguin's in there, Riddler's in there. Bunch of other villains are in. Catwoman is going to be in there as well. So I'm so excited, and I hope that there's this like happy medium between like the Tim Burton Dreamland version of Gotham that we got right, mm-hmm. and then the Nolan like only real version of Gotham, right? I hope it's like somewhere in between.
That'd be cool. I would like to see that. Oh, what era is this?
Ooh, that is another great question. Yes. I have no idea.
What era are we in?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It'd be cool if they took like a... All right, bear with me now.
Yes.
This is just a fantasy.
Yes.
If they did kind of a 20s Casablanca...
Oh, wow.
Noir-esque...
Oh, yes.
...aspect to it, I think that would be so fucking cool.
Yes, with little hints of like modern things and everything. Yeah. Oh, my God. That'd be
awesome.
Wonderful.
I would be a big fan of that.
Someone hire this man.
Please.
I mean, honestly.
God damn it.
Jesus Christ.
I really don't know that. That's a big question. Oh, yeah. The other thing I was thinking, are you going to watch a trailer when it drops?
Oh, my God.
Or are you just going to hold off and go in and experience?
Damn you.
Because I'm really lost on it, because the picture was just like, all right, cool.
I'll be honest, like, I've considered it not as much now because I just saw the thing. Like, I want to just walk into this one. This might be
That's
a,
what I'm saying.
That might be a thing where we come on the show and be like, hey, we know the trailer dropped, but... We want no. I refuse. I can't do it for the content because I just want to walk in and be blown away.
I don't have my expectations either exceeded or shit on. I don't want to get a taste of what I'm going to see.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm in a solid pass on the trailer.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do the same.
Because the reaction I had to the camera test. I can't. What?
I think a trailer is going to ruin this movie.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, God. Bless it.
So excited. Let us know what you guys thought of the reveal, though.
Yes.
I want to know some thoughts.
Like or dislike the Batsuit from Robert Pattinson, otherwise known as Robert Pattinson, in The Batman.
And I need 3 reasons why. MLA format.
Make sure the margins are correct on the side. My God.
Times New Roman.
Yes. 12.5.
Yeah, 12 fonts. Yes, good.
Do it. Damn it. Do it. All right, and on to the main topic of the day, because it's one of our special editorial episodes.
We
do these every now and again here on A Little Bit of Nerd. You know, we've had our top 5 animes of all time and, you know, top 5 female superheroes and such. But today, we're going to give you a list of some of our favorite comic romances and talk about it a little bit, you know, because that's what we're doing.
What you
it's
like.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get your love on.
Love, it's in the air.
So first on my list is Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales, obviously.
Shocker.
For obvious reasons. It's interracial thing going on. The whole chemistry, the way that characters interact with each other is cool. She's kind of the sarcastic person guy thing, and Miles is kind of more like reserved, but he finds more confidence the more he talks to her. So the whole swing in the tree storyline was just adorable, and I love it.
I eat it up every time.
I can't get enough.
I come back for seconds.
Yes. Oh my God.
Then the classic
Peter Parker, Mary Jane Watson. Bilky, you go ahead and speak on this.
Does it get better?
I don't know if it
Honestly,
does. I really don't.
It's so pure. It's so genuine. It's like the whole girl next door story. Growing up, oh shit! Now I have superpowers. Yes. Damsel in distress. Love it.
Had to win him off of Eddie Brock or something. I don't know.
Just fucking Flash Thompson.
Flash Thompson.
Fuck
yeah.
You, Flash. Douchebag.
Oh my God.
I absolutely love it, though. Okay, it's hard to say if it's my number one, but
Ooh.
It's definitely in my top 5.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
I love some Peter and MJ, because it's just a staple.
It is a classic. It's one of those go-to, like, everybody knows Peter and MJ.
Yeah,
right?
It's a Romeo and Juliet of the superhero world.
It really is. Two different worlds colliding.
Love it.
Love
it's
it.
So good. The unpopular kid, the popular girl, their neighbors,
yes.
Their windows line up,
yes.
See it change and see him change. It's
wonderful.
So good. So good.
So good. Oh, man. And then I think the next one on my list was T'Challa and Storm. Yes, that
Ooh.
Happened. In case any of you are wondering, they actually got married for a little bit of a comic run there. It's wonderful.
That's
just,
hype.
You know, it's February still, so, you know, inclusion. You know?
Can you imagine their baby?
Jesus Christ. Storm's mutant X gene with just T'Challa's T'Challa. You know what I mean? He'd have the DNA to be the Black Panther and have mutant powers as well.
Can you imagine a mutant Black Panther?
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Oh,
Jesus.
That's a comic book run right there.
Oh, damn. I didn't even think about that
one. T'Challa's older. He's going to pass kind of like T'Challa. How he came in. Yeah, yes. Kind of like how his father came before him. And
wonderful.
Then his son goes through the trials, awakens his mutant gene.
I bet it exists.
Oh, it's so good.
We got to find it. I bet it exists.
Holy shit. We'll if you guys, Brandon.
Brandon, let us know.
Please.
Please.
If you guys know, let us know. Holy shit, that's such a good one.
What's another one of yours that's not on my list?
Okay, so I'm going to point something out that's on your list because we see it in two opposite worlds.
Oh, yes.
I am a big fan of Bruce Wayne and Diana.
Oh, do tell.
Yes. I like how damaged and so focused on staying true to his beliefs that Bruce Wayne is.
Yes.
Where Diana's always kind of putting the foot down first. She's always making the move or making this like smart-ass remark. And I love it because he is always affected by it. But then he's like, no, don't fucking give in. And Bruce Wayne, no, I can't have relationships. Like, it's just, I love the dynamic that it creates.
Yeah.
Because she's so free-spirited and has such a pure heart.
But she's a demigod.
It's amazing.
Imagine that woman just walking up to you like, hey, how you doing?
I like what you got going on. Because that's half the thing is she's so confident when she comes into it.
Right.
And he loves it.
Yeah.
That's another great aspect of it is every time it happens and you see them interact, you can tell Bruce has butterflies.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, it's my favorite. I eat it up.
And I'm on the other end of the spectrum. There was a New 52 run where Clark and Diana were together instead of Lois and Clark, the classic couple. They tried it out. And personally, I was one of the people like, I think this is more of an interesting relationship on just that they're two gods, right? So they do have to coexist on that level. And it's like the differences in how they interact from a human level is really interesting, right? Because Clark grew up on Earth. Like, Diana grew up in Themyscira. So the human aspect, the human relationship part, aside from their power sets, is just really interesting. And the dynamics of that relationship were kind of cool. Because now there's not that element of like, oh, no, I have to save the person I love with Superman, right? Like, what happens when you take that away? I thought that dynamic of that relationship was always really interesting. And I think that's why I like Diana and Clark more than I like Lois and Clark.
Talk about a power couple.
I mean, good God.
Talk about a fucking power couple.
So, like, if they're, like, you know, is there an earthquake that happened? You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
can she survive?
I think
all that.
I think she could. You got to Lois now.
I mean,
Lois now.
It's internally. It's just a. It's gonna be a.
What I picture in my head is Obi-Wan and Anakin using the Force,
okay.
And then boom, boom. Just getting launched across the room. It's like, oh,
good
shit.
God, oh my.
Here's a fun one though.
Yes.
Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
That is one of my all-time favorites.
Speak on it.
Well, it's just, you know, it's more of the inclusion stuff, but I just think that their relationship together, especially on the new animated show, too, it depicts that a little bit more. Just having Harley Quinn's personality with Poison Ivy's together all the time and them talking to each other and just the way they interact is wonderful. I love it. You know, both hot, wonderful characters.
Yeah,
it's great.
Definitely.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell it like it is.
It's cool to see a gay couple, though.
It is. It's very cool. And excuse me for not including a male gay couple as well. There's one that exists with Aqualad, and I cannot remember who his partner is in there. But and Bobby Drake has several partners as well in the X-Men runs. I really like the dynamic between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. I think it's really cool and interesting.
I agree, dude.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I really do like Wolverine and Jean Grey.
That's a classic, isn't it?
It's so good.
It's a classic.
Because I like, again, how confident Wolverine is. And he doesn't care if Cyclops.
Yeah,
Scott. He doesn't care if Scott. Even if he's in the fucking room, he's like, yeah, that's your dude?
No.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, come over these ways. Come join this team. It's awesome. So that's one of my favorites because I can tell Jean actually cares pretty deeply about Logan as well.
Yeah, and that whole triangle between Jean, Wolverine, and Scott is pretty interesting, especially when you get into the later aspects and you figure out how much of a kind of a deadbeat dad Cyclops end up being at the end of his like comic book like lifespan. It's kind of nuts, you know.
I'm Team Logan in that one.
I'm Team Logan in that Scott. One, too. Sorry, Scott. I know you're the undisclosed leader, but you're just kind of fucked up in some crucial moments.
Mm. He's like Goku as far as raising a child, but not as cool.
Yeah, not as cool or, like, supportive or, like, there. Ever.
At least Goku comes back.
Literally came back from the dead to help Gohan perform a Kamehameha wave. Where were you, Scott?
Yeah.
When freaking...
Getting drunk on your motorcycle.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to you. Damn alcohol. Anyways. And then the last one on my list, at least, was Aquaman and Mera, of course.
Oh, classic.
King of Atlantis, Queen of Atlantis. Gotta have it on there.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Is there any other notables? Oh, man.
Okay. Other notables. Thor and Jane Foster.
Oh, Thor and Jane Foster, yes. Classic. Wonderful.
I do like that one because it shows how far a human can go, and kind of like the motif of humans in general when you look at cinema is that we have so much will, we never give up. Jane Foster is a perfect example of that, is perseverance, hard work, dedication, and then she ends up becoming Thor later on. It's awesome.
Yes.
But then you look at actual Thor Odinson, who's... You know, a god.
Yes.
it's crazy the dynamic to see a god with a mortal.
Yeah.
And how she kind of brings him back down to earth, so to speak.
Yeah. Because those relationships are always interesting to me on the level that, like, the god in that relationship always has to realize, like, that person's going to die eventually. Mm-hmm. And you're still going to live. Right? Because that's the kind of dynamic Lois and Clark always had, which is why when they did the New 52 stuff with Diana, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, they get to... really experience love as these, like, gods among people, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just a very interesting dynamic. Tony Stark and, Piper.
Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts and whatever. And, yeah, that's a great one, of course.
Hawkeye's got a good relationship. I like that his wife is kind of just offbeat.
Yes.
Not really like a superhero, not in that realm as far as, like, a shield agent or anything like that. She understands.
She gets it. She knows what's going down.
Now, that's a cool-ass chick. I guess you could think Black Widow and Bruce Banner kind of have a thing
they
for a while,
They did have
too.
A little bit of a romance there in the MCU, yeah.
I always liked that, though.
I really wish they would have delved into it more. That's just me. I don't know.
Black Widow, this rogue, sneaky girl, and then she...
Sneaky girl.
Comes the beast. So good.
Oh my God.
I'm curious as to what our listeners think as well.
Yes, if you will, on the episode of this podcast, I'm going to tweet it as I always do. Just go in there and note some of your favorite comic book romances of all time that you've read and you've enjoyed or you've watched and seen on TV and movies and such.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Marvel. It doesn't have to be DC. Just, you know.
Whatever you want.
It could be Scott Pilgrim in What's-Her-Face.
Yes.
It could be the dude from Kick-Ass in the...
Oh, yeah, and the Batgirl or whatever her name is. Yes, wonderful.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But moving right on down the list to DC TV stuff, otherwise known as Jalen Recaps The Flash, because Bilky doesn't watch any of the shows, but Arrow got moved from its original air date on Thursdays and then back to Tuesdays, and it's over now, and I'm really sad, and that's about it. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
So they still exist. I'm just behind because of life. So
it happens.
Yeah, it's after Crisis. Honestly, there was just this gut, and there's a hole in my gut and my feelings, and I was just... Wow, they did the Endgame thing, and it's just, what are these shows going to... There's no Arrow? I don't...
It all needs to end.
What's happening?
Kill it all.
What is going on?
New Static Shock live action movie.
Yeah.
Show, whatever.
Shout out to our friend Dakota. She gave us the heads up that there's going to be a Stargirl show. Why Stargirl?
Really?
Out of the plethora, yes. And I just don't find the lead actress very attractive, if I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Who is it?
I don't know. I feel like they could have probably kept looking. It's terrible to say.
Like Teen Titans Stargirl?
Yeah.
Or that's Starfire?
No, Stargirl, not Starfire.
Then who the fuck is Stargirl?
Stargirl is from, like, the JLA. She's old school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's happening, so that's cool. But yeah, I'm just behind. I think The Flash is still pretty good. That's about it, though. Black Lightning.
Cacao!
That's about it, though.
Nice.
So, yeah. All right.
Very
DC
informative.
TV
Thank
stuff.
You.
Good stuff. Wonderful. We're doing the things. All right. Moving to the League Minutes. where we give you some low elo insight into all things League of Legends. Thank you for tuning in, those of you who just want to listen to this clip of the show, because I know there's some of you out there like that, you know, it happens. So let's talk about the LCS spring standings as of now. Number one, Cloud9 at 6-0, Bilky. What?
You know what?
This is nuts, man.
I won't ever hate on Cloud9, but I do feel like this is not going to last.
Ooh, hot take.
I think Sven did the same thing on TSM when he first came in. It was just killing shit.
I agree.
Really well. One of the best KDAs in the league at the time. Still has the best KDA in the league now. Not going to matter.
You know what? I'm buying in because he is just a KDA warrior. Like, straight up. We saw what happened summer 2019 when he just face-checked in the middle of the fucking Baron pit and lost the series for TSM. And I just, you know, I'm on that train as well. I do not think Sven is going to be the answer for Cloud9. If anything, it's going to be Niski in the mid lane.
Correct. Yeah, I don't... they have Blabber in the jungle.
Blabber, Niski, and their... Oh, what was their
fantastic.
Name? And
they Licorice. Really, yeah, they
that,
have a
those
great
three
team.
Will carry the games for them.
Don't get me wrong. They have an awesome team. I do believe that they're going to make it through playoffs. You're probably going to see them in the finals for the spring split.
Yeah.
But I don't think this team has longevity to it.
No.
I see a lot of roster changes coming in the future.
For sure.
They're going to try and... I think they're going to try and do the thing that Liquid's been successful with and create a super team.
Yeah.
Try and run with it.
And after a slow start, my boys, Team Solo Mid, hopping in second, tied with Immortals at 4-2.
Doing real well recently.
Dude,
it
they
sucks.
Are looking gross right now.
I hate to say it, but...
They're looking gross, bro, in a good way. Like, they figured out after that first weekend, like, hey, our mid game is absolutely garbage. We should figure out how to close games out and be monsters, and they have.
They're doing fantastic. Immortals is doing well. That doesn't surprise me. Immortals came into the league and just fucking killed everything.
They have a solid roster, too.
Yeah.
They really do.
It's cool to see them come back. 100 Thieves, like to see them doing well. Just because.
Dig is a team that should be up in one or two. I'm going to be real honest with you.
I think Dig has tilt issues. I think their mental game is a little bit weaker, but I think they have the capability to be up there.
Because look at their roster, right? Huni top, Afro bottom, right? And they got Bang, and then their mid laner is, Jizuke. No, he's Evil Geniuses, sorry. But their mid laner is still relatively, or Froggen. That's their mid laner.
Yeah, it's Froggen, holy
like,
shit.
You know what I mean? Like, I expected this team to be up there, and then the games that they dropped, they were just small errors, late game. And they just choked it.
I think it was them tilting. Honestly, I can recall Hui going in a set, like 1v5, whenever he had no intention of going in.
Bro.
Yeah,
my Huni tilt.
So,
goodness.
FlyQuest rounds out the fourth spot as far as the standings are concerned. Then you drop down to EG, Golden Guardians, and a surprising Team Liquid.
That's the one I want to talk about. Fuck everything. That's the one I want to talk about the most. Team Liquid is at the bottom of the barrel at 2-4, right above... and some other team.
I won't
say it for you.
No, it's fine. Fucking right above, say it.
Right above CLG.
Oh, God.
But, there and people are trying to make excuses because they don't have Broxa or whatever. I don't give a fuck. You still got Double Lift in the bot lane, right? They still got Core JJ, still got Jensen in the mid lane, and you still got Impact top. I don't care who your jungler is. You got four players that know how to play together. Figure that shit out. You went to Worlds, bro.
Yeah. It's
like that is not okay.
It's no, this is the Warriors. Same thing. Yep, the Warriors are coming down.
Yeah, I love it. Because now we're going to have a new champion in spring. Can't wait for it. And even if Broxa comes, I still don't think Team Liquid's going to do it. Because I think teams have just figured out, like, there's nothing to be afraid of with Team Liquid.
See, the thing about all that as well is that Liquid is starting to... destruct internally.
Yes.
So they blamed their initial loss, I believe it was on the jungle. Like, that's the team consensus was just like, oh, our jungle fucked up. But if you go back and watch the match history from their recent games, their jungle actually played really fucking well.
They did.
So I don't know what the hell the issue is. Yeah, it's just that they're collapsing internally, the team's starting to bicker. Part of me wants to assume it's Double just being a jackass. Like
I'm
going to
assume
is,
it's
but...
Double's... I think it's more the meta than anything else. Because this meta for Double is awful.
Agreed. That's a great point.
The meta picks are MF and Senna.
Like, and then Aphelios. Aphelios. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't play... he's just not a good Senna player. And they keep putting him on Senna just because she's up. But realistically, you can put him on a Trist or a Zaya and he'd be fine. There's no reason. I just don't understand. I know, you know, at pro play, it's probably a different conversation and you have to play the best picks. But, like, at the end of the day, Cloud9 proved it, I think, when they had their miracle run. What was it, 2 years ago at Worlds when they made top four?
Yeah.
That you just got to play good shit that you can do. You know what I mean? Like, Double Lift isn't a Senna player. So stop putting him on Senna. You've lost four games where he's on Senna. Stop. It doesn't make any sense. I don't care if she's meta. Put him on Zaya. That is one of his most disgusting champions ever made. And he's also really good at Kai'Sa. The meta doesn't fit Kai'Sa right now, I understand. But you can mod her build to where she's a little bit more early game with Stormraiser first, and then you go into Ginsu's, and then you go into, like, Runan's. Like, that's what you can do. I know I'm a bronzy just giving out some advice, but this is about as blanket as it gets just from a coaching standpoint. Mm-hmm. I have questions as to why you're beating your head against the wall doing the definition of insanity.
And he doesn't even like playing Senna. He can do it, but he doesn't like it.
He literally has said it on his stream 100 times. Like, he hates playing Senna bot. He doesn't understand. Like, he doesn't like it. There's no DPS. That's just... And I will admit, I'm a Senna one trick right now in solo queue, but it's low elo. So, like, you can just abuse her in some aspects with her range and stuff. But as soon as a team picks, like, two or three tanks, you're done. You can't do anything in the game.
Agreed.
There's nothing you can do.
You're just sitting on the back line.
Yeah.
Trying to heal whenever your Q's off cooldown. Like,
trying to hope, someone else is going to do enough damage you can clean up. That's it. But, yeah, that team is the one I want to talk about the most out of the lot of the standings, because... It's just a shock and awe to see the fall from grace.
It really
every
is.
Time.
It's fine, though. I've never been a Liquid fan, so that's fine. It's totally okay with me.
Yeah.
I have been a Double fan, so I hope he does well, but I'm also anticipating some roster changes.
For sure.
Especially before the next spring split starts. But real quick, why the fuck is CLG in 10th place,
That's
dude?
One I truly don't understand.
Good God.
They upgraded at two positions, at top and mid. So how do you... How? How? I just don't.
I think it's some confidence issues. I think chemistry is a little off. I don't think they have a direction as far as who they are
right.
as a team. I don't think they fully believe in each other. I don't think they have an identity right now.
Sure aren't no tech gaming, you know?
Sure shit not no tech. Fucking Stixxay is swinging Academy and LCS right now as well.
Which is awful. They're going to burn him out.
I think that's weighing on him because he's lost his last 6 matches on the stage.
Yeah.
Academy and LCS.
It's just sucks. Like Jesus.
And we brought in Crown, which was awesome. I was super excited about that. And Ruin is literally the number one player in NA solo queue right now. And it's just like, what are we missing to put the fucking pieces together?
It's crazy. They had the game in their hands against...
It was against Immortals. Yeah.
And they let the back door. I'm like, what? This is how they're going to lose this game?
I mean, it could have got dragged out because Ruin almost made it back. A flash cocoon stops his back. Ignorant as fuck that someone else is backing in that side brush leading towards the blue buff and doesn't check or anything. Like, holy shit, you got a fucking thing here. And you have to have a contingency plan for everything.
Yes.
But the only bright side is that Immortals moves into second off that, but CLG had that game wrapped bone a ribbon.
Yeah.
They fucked up, but they are capable of beating the team that's in second place right now.
To me, it's just Crown choking it. Like, that game against Immortals, right? We talked, I think I texted you immediately. Yeah. I was like, is he really not flashing for the first blood? What?
It blows my mind. With Barrier up.
Especially because, you know, League is such a amazing game of just trickle-down effect, right? Or, like, the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him not flashing for that first blood... while it had to force a recall, later on, they still lose all the control mid lane and Pryo to get that first dragon, right? Later on, now they're on a different power spike. They don't have the soul buff priority anymore because he didn't flash. Worst case scenario, you're flashless in mid lane, but you have first blood money. So now you're running the lane more on an Azir, who even if he all-ins you, you're going to win because you're Rumble.
Yeah, like, you're still nuking him.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you got... That's a play to me that from a player like Crown, right? Like, he has an SSG skin. I bought it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, what? What? What in the world? And his play since he came here is just not, I don't think he's a Rumble player. Stop putting him on Rumble. Put him on different stuff.
It's subpar right now. It really sucks, too, because I know that dude wants to succeed, and he's had a taste for it, but
for sure.
He's missing some sort of confidence. I think he had more of a persona in the LCK.
Absolutely.
And then now he doesn't really have, you know, a fan base as big as he did out there, and it's different, and I understand that, but something has to change. Like, we're 1-5 right now.
Yeah. I mean,
you're running out of time to even try and make a run at anything.
You are, but at the end of the day, it's still spring split, right? Like, the summer one's the one that really, that's the one that really matters.
I mean, at the end of the day, they changed the playoff format.
Yep.
So you're going to get to play.
Yeah.
You're going to get a chance. Start to pick the pieces up now. Go into MSI strong.
Yes. Get a little momentum.
Yeah, it's get something. Come in summer split. Do the best you can, but at the end of the day, you're a professional, and this is a professional organization that has a long history of success across multiple platforms and games. You need to live up to the standard. CLG's been memed the last 6 years or so.
I say, it used to be TSM CLG every final. Like, that's what it was.
But people forget CLG is the team that really started a lot of North American League of Legends esports big franchises. Shit. The guy who created TSM used to play mid lane for CLG and then had
these facts.
He had conflicts within and branched off and created TSM. So live up to the potential that your team has and then uphold the dynasty that's been created like before you. It just really sits wrong with me.
Yes.
And I'm still going to support them. They're still going to be my fucking favorite team. I'll bleed CLG until my fingers don't work anymore. I don't care.
You know me, I'm TSM since Bjerg, you know. Ever since I started playing, immediately that guy just kind of gravitated toward me for some reason. And, I'll still be TSM after he leaves. It's kind of like watching Tom Brady for those Patriots fans right now. Yeah. I'm dreading the day, but I know it's coming.
I mean, double left CLG, hot shot left
CLG,
Link left. I could go on.
High left, yeah.
It sucks, dude. It's okay. It's fine.
It's all right. We'll be all right. It's a long year, my friend.
It is.
It's just six games. We're good.
We need to make it to
Is it finals. Detroit?
I think so.
Yeah. We're going to have to road trip it.
At least spring or summer. I would love to do
I'm
it
thinking
again.
Summer. Maybe, actually, no. We should do spring because summer is USAB.
Oh, we got nationals.
Yeah, nationals.
We got real life things
real
to do.
Real life, yeah. All right.
Well, hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, Bilky, it's time for that part of the show, if you know what I mean.
Do tell.
Hi, Bilky, my God. Did you see that Robert Pattinson, the cowl and the bat suit? He looks wonderful.
It's amazing. I had a semi the whole time.
I simply cannot believe that young man used to be a vampire. How in the hell did he change his ways? How is he not able to just be sucking blood out of everyone he sees? It's crazy.
It is crazy, Mr. Carey, but you know what? He's a multi-dimensional actor.
Talk about rehab. Sorry for if you want to read, where we give you some comic book reading recommendations and stuff to check out on the internets. I, as of late, have been trying my best to catch up on all things that are Beyblade, I swear to God. I started rewatching Beyblade, I think, at like 2 a.m. the other night, and it still brings me joy. It's absolutely atrocious to watch as an adult, but it still brings me joy.
I did the same thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! A couple years ago. I was like, oh shit, Yu-Gi-Oh!'s on Netflix.
That's what I was just
and
like.
And I was like, this is, oh my God.
How did I watch this?
This is terrible.
My poor parents is what I thought to myself. Oh man. As far as reading recommendations go, I'm still working my way through Zed. It's wonderful.
Oh, really?
Highly recommend, yes. You get to see Shen and things and his dad, and you see Zed's face. It is so weird to see Zed's face.
I can believe that.
It's just weird, man. I don't understand it. And then Jin's in there too a little bit because, you know, the whole Ionia massacre.
Right.
And yeah, it's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yes. What about you?
I've been watching older movies recently.
Ooh.
So the one I'm going to recommend is Gene Hackman in The French Connection.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Digging deep.
Yeah.
Okay, baby.
I was getting into like a little police run, a little mafia here, a little gangster there.
Yeah.
And then I came across The French Connection. I've heard of the movie before, and I don't want to say too much about it, but
yeah.
It's cool to go back in time and see how movies were made back then and the kind of tricks that they used for different camera effects and just the way that they tried to deliver the emotion.
Yes.
And
the medium was crazy different back then.
It's really good, though.
Yeah.
It's really good because they had to focus on a lot of dialogue. They had to focus on certain shots and the way characters acted to really get you into it because they don't have all the CGI that we have nowadays. Yeah. So definitely check it out. It's a good old flick. And then pick up more James Bond.
Yes.
Because the new one's going to come out soon.
Yes, I can't wait. It's supposed to be the last one with Daniel Craig, and then we're going to see what happens from there. But
yeah, so yeah. We're going to talk about that on a future pod. A little spoiler alert, a little teaser for you on this Valentine's Day.
I also watched The Equalizer 2, finally, with Denzel
Washington. Oh, I watched the first one the other day, so I can watch the second one now.
The second one is insane.
Really?
Yes. If you thought he massacred people in the first one, my God, dude. The
okay, I'm excited. The skill of this man, dude. Nice.
It's wonderful.
So we got French Connection, we got Zed Comics, we got fucking Equalizer 2.
It's wonderful.
A lot of stuff to watch here. James Bond.
Jeez Louise. Well, Bilky, we've done it yet again. $0.00 was spent to make this podcast a reality.
Incredible.
Wonderful. It's because we use podcast.com. It's the best place to host your podcast because it gives you optimized search engine capabilities to get your podcast out on the internet. And it has unlimited storage. You can keep on making episodes. We're getting close to 50. We're getting close to that 50 bone.
I think this is 48.
This is 48.
Holy shit.
Yes. We will let you know all the happenings of our 50th celebration. Maybe we'll rent a space out at like a Dave and Buster's. I don't know.
We'll go to Chuck E. G's.
Chuck E. G's, all the things. Maybe we'll rent out Justin's Comics as recommended to us by Mr.
Brandon.
Oh, what if we do like a crossover episode with the Galactic Dads? We'll let you know. It's going to be crazy. Oh, man. You can find us on Twitter now at our lovely Twitter page.
Yes.
It exists.
Finally.
We'll have all those questions from the show on there after I upload the episode and tweet it out, of course. Your favorite comic book romances and things of that nature. Let us know. And then let us know what you thought about the Robert Pattinson Batsuit.
Yes, please.
It's wonderful.
We need to talk about it.
The
it's
internet,
important.
Nerdom, kingdoms, things.
Come on.
And that you can catch us at LBON Podcast. That is what the tag is. We'll link it in the description.
Perfect.
Yes. We'll catch you next week, nerds. Catch you later.